A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down and did him homage and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servant saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord. Forgiveness. Where do we want God's mercy to stop? The Apostle Peter's personality is revealed repeatedly in the other Gospels, and in this one. He is passionate and impulsive. In today's reading from Matthew, we hear him ask Jesus this question. If my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? Someone has hurt Peter, has sinned against him. I can hear his teeth grind as he offers the possible answer, as many as 7 times. I can relate to his question. I have been in that situation. When someone is unjust, unfair, uncaring, to just forgive them appears to condone the injustice. I can't do that. Jesus' response is mind-blowing. 70 times 7. 490 times? The numbers Jesus is using are really cultural symbols, meaning he's telling Peter that there's no limit to the number of times that he must forgive. He expects us to forgive someone who repeatedly hurts us, treats us unfairly, and to do it over and over again. No way. But as Jesus moves further into his answer with the parable of the master who forgives the debt of his servant, we hear him teaching us that the possibility to forgive others can come to us if we honestly consider how much we have been forgiven. How many times have we failed to live up to the possibilities that God has given us to make a positive difference in our world? Yet God has forgiven us, has given us another chance. And when we don't forgive, we become tied up by the anger and resentment that fills us. It controls us. It even has a negative effect on the people around us who don't deserve that. They had nothing to do with the sin against us. They're being punished for something they didn't do. They wind up putting up with our stress and moodiness over the hurt we can't let go of. A young man, a husband and father, let's call him Peter. He arrived at my office one night. He was obviously upset, needed to talk with me. Peter, my Peter, proceeded to tell about receiving a frantic phone call while he was at work from a relative who told him that the police were in his yard. He hurried home to find out that they had arrested some men who were from the neighborhood, reportedly involved in a shooting. He frantically rushed into his house to see if his wife and son were okay. They were. He went back outside and helped the police find the guns, which the men had thrown away when the police approached. The weapons were found in some bushes. It was weeks later, and as Peter was walking down his block, he heard a voice calling vulgar threats at him. When he looked up, he recognized that it was one of the men arrested in the incident at his home. The man was threatening him and his family for helping the police find the guns. But Peter kept walking and didn't respond to the threats. A few days later, while he was in his home, he heard shots again, and when he went outside, he found a bullet hole in his wife's car. He shared with me the stress he felt. He was a former soldier who served in Iraq. Looking me straight in the eyes, he said, "Sister, I have been trained in how to handle threats. I can take care of this situation, but I really don't want to do that. I don't want to do what I know I could do." Then he continued to talk about the arguments he and his wife had, when he anxiously urged her to be alert, cautious whenever she went out or came home. Always look for signs of threats. And the wife, frustrated and anxious about it, would often respond, "Stop bringing your military stuff home." But he was so afraid for her and his young son, he wanted to protect them, to remove this threat from their lives. And his options were heavy on his mind. And as I listened to him, I thought of all the times that I struggled with the problem of retaliation versus forgiveness. His motivation was far more powerful than any I had. He was not just angry, he was rightfully anxious to protect his family. Then we moved to talking about the other man, the shooter, his neighbor, a man whom he had known through the years, a man who had problems with drugs and alcohol, was often arrested, and was living the all-too-typical life of violence in the streets of the city. And then we turned to talking about the blessings that were Peter's. He had a good marriage, a delightful, bright, and healthy 2-year-old son, a good job, a nice house. He had just gotten the family a new car, and they had just returned from a week's vacation where he shared with me the good time they had. But then the weight of the past experience, you could see it haunting him. It kept control of him. When you looked in his eyes, you could see them change whenever he went back to the incident. There is no way we can deny the human emotions we feel when we are wrongfully treated. They are natural. Forgiveness does not say the actions we forgive were not wrong. But if we don't try to forgive, then we turn over the energy of our lives to that wrong action, and we give it the power to control us and to negatively affect those around us. And then the virus of anger and revenge creates a wall that prevents us from entering the promised land, the peaceful land, the reign of God. Peter and I prayed together, asking for God's help, the strength and wisdom necessary to learn forgiveness. We agreed to continue to pray for each other, that we might both move into the truth and rightness of this choice this way. We both agreed that we never want God's mercy to stop. And we heard the answer. Jesus tells us it's in our hands. And that means we must keep learning how to forgive from our hearts and never stop.